The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my new friend, Tom Callahan, on the other side of the glass, Tom engineering and producing the show, and we welcome him to the Buckmaster Show family and to the Bustos Media family. Tom, looking forward to a great relationship with you. The Buckmaster Show on this Thursday, November 21st, 2019. Do you realize a year ago today, we were celebrating Thanksgiving? We're getting ready to sit down and enjoy Thanksgiving. The earliest possible Thanksgiving was last year, and a week from today will be the latest possible Thanksgiving. So what it all means, it really telescopes the time between Thanksgiving and Christmas, basically to about 3 weeks. We are broadcasting from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. You're listening to 1030 Tucson's Voice. For trusted news talk in Southern Arizona, we have our worldwide live listening on my website. It's buckmastershow.com. We have that extensive archive of programs. All the podcasts are there. 24/7, you go to buckmastershow.com. You can hear the podcast on your schedule. The live line number, if you would like to join us, 790-2040. Let's join now one of our great contributors. We have more than two dozen now contributors. So proud of this Buckmaster Show team that we have assembled. Our contributor on Mexico is longtime communications field expert. He was the Mexico contributor for the Arizona Daily Star and the Arizona Republic. He was the media representative for Congressman Jim Colby. Keith Rosenblum with us on the live line. Keith, how are you?
Bill, I'm doing well and still aspiring to bring those two dozen contributors of yours down to maybe just five or six. I just want to be, I can't tell you how inferior I feel being one of a couple dozen and how much better, it'd be good for my self-esteem.
Yeah,
and just a couple.
Hey, it could be the Buckmaster Survivor Show. So those that are left will get a lot more airtime. I was looking at these border crossings. The number of pedestrians crossing from Mexico into Arizona through the state's six border crossings fell 12% in the first half of the year. That does not bode well for holiday shopping. And some of the folks in downtown Nogales say you're seeing a lot of store closings, and there's not a lot of people on the street. A lot of this, I guess, are the long delays up to 2 hours at the border. What's your take on this?
Well, my take, first of all, is a personal one. And that is that I cross all the time, and I'm not among those who have the Sentry or I forget what we call it, something like Trusted Traveler program. When you have those, in accordance with DHS rules, you're supposed to be able to cross, I think, in 10 minutes. Those are things you show at the airport. It shows that you're a good guy. You've been vetted. You've gone through Homeland Security testing, and you're not a risk. So you present that card, Sentry anyway, in Nogales. And for a vehicle line, you want it to be, their goal anyway is to have you through in 10 or 15 minutes. By ground, you cut in front of everybody and you show your card. I don't have that. The noble or the ideological reason that I tell people is that I want to be treated as a journalist. I want to be treated like the masses. I don't want special treatment. I'm going to endure that hour and a half or 2 hour, sometimes 3 hour wait to come back into the U.S. The reality might be a little bit more cruel, and that is I just don't feel like spending $150 for that distinction. So either way, I can tell you that the waits are horrible, and that is a function of U.S. policy. Which says it's better to spend all this time on tedious, what I consider to be tedious interrogations and unnecessary at the ports of entry, instead of better that we should delay people for hours on end than we should let one or two people get into the country who have either are illegal or have some kind of record and haven't been fully vetted. I view that as being insane, and I think the waits are denigrating, and that they are avoidable, and not merely from a merchant standpoint, but from a dignity standpoint, to have to go through those things is just terrible. I would invite you and any of your listeners to go down one day to cross into Mexico and then to get back into the line and watch the procedure. It's a deliberately slow, hi, how are you? It's worse than anything, any lines you have in the U.S. And if I were Mexican, I'd rather do my shopping in Mexico no matter what, not merely from the standpoint of the time devoted there, but also just from a dignity standpoint. To have to go through those things all the time. They take your pictures. I forget what the name of the machine is now they use to get your iris. To take that. But even that, even I don't even mind. I don't object to that. I object to the slow and tedious and sometimes offensive nature of the questioning. And because Mr. Rosenblum, it can be polite questioning. What was the purpose of your trip to Mexico? Well, I had some meetings. Well, can you tell us about those meetings? It's like, no, I won't tell you about those meetings. But this is, no, this is none of your, a couple of times I've come through, and it's interesting to see the reaction, because the agents are good. They're good. They're under orders to do this. They're not bad people. They're very decent people. I know lots of them. And I've actually a couple of times said, just for the fun of it, to see how it would resonate, I said, oh, the purpose of my meetings or that I was in today, because I was discussing the overthrow of the U.S. government with some buddies.
Oh, no.
Just to see. And actually, some of these guys have good sense of humor. Get out of here. Just go. You just get out of my face. So this is one of the reasons. And it's not merely, in the case of Nogales, it's worth pointing out that they have this really topsy-turvy system, because you can be in downtown Nogales. There's two pedestrian crossings. One's the DeConcini crossing, and that's the main downtown one. That's open 24 hours, and that's where the lines get the longest. And they are this all times of year. They've been running 45 minutes, an hour, 2 hours. And when I first started going to Nogales in the 80s and then in the 90s, those waits were you used to be annoyed if those waits exceeded 5 minutes. But anyway, that was a different day and age. Downtown Morley Avenue, which is open, I believe, from 8 until 5. That's the a separate little merchant area. It's on the east side of the railroad tracks. Those lines can also be lengthy, generally not so much because most Americans don't know they exist. Those are for shoppers. It's kind of an anachronism, the little pedestrian port there. But that also is maybe, I don't know, a few minutes faster than, shall we say, the DeConcini entrance. Then, when you go over to the Mariposa crossing, which is about a mile to the west, and that's both regular vehicles as well as trucks, there's no pedestrians whatsoever. That's the weird part. On a number of occasions, I'll actually take a cab from downtown Nogales, Mexico, up to Mariposa Road entrance, walk in, and there's no wait whatsoever.
Huh.
And I've done that just to... And then I'll because the city of Nogales has never gotten its act together and have a bus service up there or any kind of public transportation, now I'm at the mercy of trying to get a hitch into downtown Nogales, take a cab, call a buddy, you name it. It's a horrible system, and Nogales itself is a victim of its own inaction on this one, because it makes no sense for them to have people waiting an hour and a half downtown and no wait whatsoever at Mariposa Road. What you've done is you have people stranded.
I wonder how this is going to translate into the holiday season here in Tucson, with so many of our malls here usually have a lot of traffic from Mexico. But maybe the value of the peso, the long lines at the ports of entry, and I'm sure there's been an increase, just like in this country, Keith Rosenblum, in online shopping in Mexico.
Yeah, but not to the detriment. There's still the shopping experience, and Tucson is still superior in so many ways, in terms of entertainment and in terms of things to do. So, no, there is online shopping, by the way, in Mexico now. It's not as mature as it is in the States. But no, if I worked for Tucson Mall or Park Place or Elcon or mm-hmm. Foothills or anybody else, I would have one employee whose full-time job would be to have that person detailed to Customs and Border Protection and be discussing with them the way that they handle people, because that is your real bottleneck right there. And it's not merely a question of the time that's devoted to asking people often inane questions about what they've been doing in Mexico, but it's also the denigration, the way that people are treated on top of that. And a lot of people, and I know people who would just say, you know, it's not worth that kind of headache or that kind of going into a world where you're assumed to be a criminal, which is in large part what CBP has become as more of a military agency than it used to be. There's kind of the presumption that you have to prove that you are entitled to come to the U.S. And I understand that, but is that really what we're about as Americans? Is that really what merchants in Tucson and Tubac and
sure.
Green Valley and even Phoenix want?
All right, Keith, stick around. We've got another segment with you. But right now we've got Thanksgiving coming up 1 week from today, and a good time to talk about pies and roll orders for your Thanksgiving table. From Mona's Danish Bakery, they've got pumpkin, apple, blueberry, cherry, and pecan pies. The dinner rolls, they've got a wide variety of those. And of course, how about for Thanksgiving morning or the morning after? How about that Danish Kringle? Mona's is home of the Danish Kringle, and they come in the traditional custard, cherry, strawberry, blueberry, lemon, apricot, and pecan. So check it out. Mona's Danish Bakery is the website address. The phone number, 579-1959. Mona's Danish Bakery, open right now for lunch, Northeast Corner, Swan and Sunrise. Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio continues. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
Take 5 minutes to give us your input on regional transportation matters. The Regional Transportation Authority's 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee prepared draft guiding principles to consider as they prepare to develop the next RTA plan. The survey is available between mid-November and mid-December. To take the survey or to sign up to receive RTA notices, please visit www.rtamobility.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
This is Moa Mosgallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at mosgallery.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios. Thanksgiving a week from today. Wouldn't it be nice to have some poinsettias, some beautiful poinsettias around the house that when the guests arrive for Thanksgiving, you've got the home is decorated with some beautiful plants. Well, nobody grows more poinsettias in this part of the country than Green Things, 3384 East River Road. Can you imagine growing 25,000 poinsettias in every imaginable color? That's what Jen and Jack, the owners of Green Things, do. And these go all over the place here in Southern Arizona to different organizations decorating for some really big parties. And they want a lot of poinsettias, and they're really beautiful. 13-acre site, 3384 East River Road. That's Green Things, also home to Zocalo for all of your gift ideas for Christmas. Beautiful merchandise. Some of that merchandise is just beautiful, hand-carved furniture from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. Come tour the five shops at Zocalo Village. Their website, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Keith Rosenblum, our contributor, one of two dozen or so Buckmaster regular contributors, is with us on the live line. We spent the first segment talking about shopping around the border and the long border waits. I want to get an update now on the more what has been now commonly referred to as the Mormon massacre. Are the Mexican media folks continuing to cover this? That story's disappeared from the U.S. media, Keith Rosenblum.
Yes. In fact, I just saw the headline at one of the Mexican websites that President López Obrador actually met with members of the Klan, which is probably the best word in describing them. At this point, you have the FBI that's been working with the new police entity in Mexico to determine the ballistics, the methodology, all the things that were used in that massacre. I don't know, nine people, it was actually a massacre, it was going to hit. But as of right now, it still goes down as a mystery. And so no group gets depicted today as entirely innocent and nobody as entirely tainted. You have questions about what this group living in its kind of its compound setting was up to. Yes, the people who were murdered it's obvious they were innocents. We don't know the details yet. I do know that this is one of the President López Obrador is going to be under pressure, the same kind of pressure that Mexico has faced with the slaughter or the disappearance of the students at Ayotzinapa. The same types of unresolved crimes. Mexicans are accustomed to things not being resolved, and one of the things that President López Obrador has to do to, I'm not sure he can restore faith, he might create faith in government, will be to have studies that actually show here's what happened and here's why it occurred. So I still think that is several months out. It hasn't lost currency at all in Mexico. It's daily in places like Universal or Reforma or Excelsior, the daily papers, and it's fodder on the at all of the social networking sites as well. And it also comes, of course, as they kind of reel from the from what happened in Culiacan following the arrest of Chapo Guzman's son, Ovidio, and then and the political kind of disaster that followed in terms of what Mexico should or shouldn't have done.
That's my next point with you. There, people in this country are just are amazed. They just can't. They can't. They can't see anything like that ever happening in this country. Where say you had the son of a big mafia chieftain arrested. And then the president of the United there's violence surrounding that, and the president of the United States just says, "Let's release the guy." I mean, it's hard to get a grip on this.
It was stunning, and it was stunning. And the United States has always had this policy of no negotiating when it comes to hostages.
Yeah.
Oh, except for when we did it during the Reagan administration. Israel for years had a policy of no negotiating, except when it turns out that they did for pilots and people who were in prison. So we say we're going to have these, we make these stands about how we will not negotiate. In the end, there's a lot of things that take place even in the most civilized societies. And Mexico, in this case, learned that the cost of getting government to back down is having arms and a plan to go on a counterattack right away. And boy, did that, it split the society right in half when it comes to how that should handle. If you're outside of Culiacan, you say, hey, the government certainly backed down, what a horrible thing. If you happen to live in Culiacan and you saw what might have ensued, you become a little bit more, okay, did we really want to have innocents take the hit on that? Either way, it was a flubbed operation as the Marina and the police went to serve a warrant that hadn't yet been cleared with the higher-ups in Mexico City. That's the genesis of the problem. And from there, they make an arrest, and then, boy, did they back down, and has that been a horrible lesson. And for any kid that's learning the cost of disobedience with a parent, if they can just threaten the parent, they'll learn that they'll never be punished as long as they can strike back harder than what the parent's going to do to him or her.
You got to think about what's the precedent of this.
It's a horrid precedent. and I think that's why that is one of the López Obrador, who still enjoys very high popularity as President Trump does, but his are actually higher, has seen this as being one of the surprise dividers of his society. Nobody could have anticipated.
One thing we have not touched on in a long time, and you spent time with Congressman Jim Colby. How is the congressman doing, by the way?
Last conversation I had with Jim was 2 weeks ago when we asked him whether he would volunteer to appear at a gathering in February that Dr. Tom Tsang from the University of Arizona, who's a microbiologist, I believe. He's been doing alternative cancer treatments in Nogales, Mexico. Tom's in China right now doing them there. They can't be done in the U.S., and Jim has agreed to be at a forum that looks at both China geopolitically and also will include the participation of Dr. Tsang to tell people about what he's been doing in Mexico. So, Jimmy, you sounded great. Jim's always in great spirits. He never shows any kind of weakness whatsoever. So that's whether that's by design or by personality or what, he sounds great and continues to be active in the national, international political scene.
And you think about, here was Jim Colby, a Republican conservative, how different his approach, 15, 20 years ago, was to the border than what we're seeing today.
It's
stunning.
Ways, Jim was part of a civilized debate 20 years ago, and that has largely vanished from the political spectrum today. Bill, can I make a plug?
Sure.
Make a personal plug?
Go ahead.
I've been working for the last, you're going to see in the months to come, a publication. I've been working with a gentleman named Mario de la Fuente, who's from Nogales, Arizona, Nogales, Sonora. And we're going to go ahead and do a publication. One of these days, we might actually be able to sponsor or be a partner with the Buckmaster Show. We're going to go ahead and, with an English language publication, cover goings on in the border and apply the journalism standards of Mr. De La Fuente, who runs Diario de Sonora in Nogales, Mexico, and has lots of media interests. His dad was the pioneer of cable television in all of Mexico.
Uh-huh.
And so you get to see my byline again. I've been doing freelance work up until now, but Mr. De La Fuente approached me maybe 6 months ago. We've talked about it. And so we're going to get you some publications, a monthly. We're going to call it Arizona Business Connection. Mm-hmm. You're going to get to see it in due time.
Arizona Business Connection, it will be the name
Arizona of Mexico Connection.
Oh,
Arizona Mexico Connection.
And
it'll be with a focus on business activities in the border area.
And where will it be available, Keith?
I'll see to it that you get it. We're going over the circulation aspects of it right now. It'll be on both sides. It'll be in English. We'll do a website. And we'll be making sure that you get to, because we'll be doing print, we'll make sure that you get some of those exclusives.
All right. I appreciate it very much. Keith Rosenblum, I want to wish you and your wonderful family a wonderful Thanksgiving, a blessed Thanksgiving a week from today. Have a good one.
Thanks for the privilege of appearing, Bill.
Thank you very much. Keith Rosenblum with us on the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Coming up next, talk a little bit about holiday travel out of TIA. We'll talk with the interim head of the Tucson Airport Authority right after we take the mid-show break on Buckmaster.
CBS News Special Report. A second State Department official has told Congress he overheard a call between EU Ambassador Gordon Sondland and President Trump, who asked if Ukraine was going to do the investigation.
This was a very distinctive experience. I've never seen anything like this in my Foreign Service career. Someone at a lunch in a restaurant making a call on a cell phone to the President of the United States. Being able to hear his voice, it's a very distinctive personality, as we've all seen on television.
David Holmes said Sondland told him the president only cared about big stuff, such as the Biden investigation. Russia expert Fiona Hill addressed the treatment of ousted Ukraine ambassador Marie Yovanovitch.
But I was very concerned about the circumstances in which her reputation had been maligned repeatedly on television and in all kinds of exchanges. I felt that was completely unnecessary.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Pam Coulter.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Ever dream of taking a river cruise? Bon Voyage Travel introduces you to Ama Waterways. You'll explore authentic culture in captivating landscapes in luxury and comfort. All on board an award-winning fleet while you travel through incredible cities and villages in Europe, Southeast Asia, and Africa. Picture yourself on the river, indulging in Ama Waterways' locally inspired cuisine paired with complimentary wine with every lunch and dinner. Contact Bon Voyage Travel today to customize your river cruise vacation.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-7000. 6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show and the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Time for our CEO interview series on Buckmaster, presented by our friends at Sun Corridor, Inc., which is a transformative economic development organization representing one of the most dynamic and growing major business centers in North America. Sun Corridor, Inc. is a CEO-driven regional alliance whose members aggressively champion mega-regional issues that impact economic competitiveness and quality of life. The organization has helped to drive significant business investment into Tucson and Southern Arizona through primary job creation, resulting in an economic impact of, get this, $24.8 billion with a B dollars. And that includes 168 company locates and expansions supporting nearly 50,000 jobs. For more information, visit suncorridorinc.com. With me on the live line, Danette Bewley, the interim president and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. Prior to her current position, she was vice president of operations and the chief operating officer responsible for overseeing the day-to-day operations of Tucson International Airport and Ryan Airfield. Danette, how are you?
I'm well. Thank you so much for having me on your show today.
Well, it's very serendipitous to have you on the program. Thanksgiving is 1 week from today. I will be joining a lot of people next Wednesday morning out at TIA as we get ready to travel for the holidays. What kind of a holiday season are you expecting, Danette, out at TUS?
Well, as you can imagine, everybody wants to go visit their family and friends. So any time between, you know, really starting as early as this weekend and all through the next week and possibly, you know, Monday and Tuesday following Thanksgiving is usually one of the busiest times of the year for most airports, ours included. So we're expecting a pretty crowd, and I would imagine the airlines are excited about filling those seats and getting everybody happily to their destination so they can eat lots of great food and be with their family and friends.
About 166,000 passengers are expected to go through Tucson International Airport in the 13 days surrounding Thanksgiving this year. That's about 40% more per day than the average, as the airlines have boosted the number of flights by an average of 7% over the holiday period. This is real indicative, is it not, Danette, of the people that are coming and going through? The numbers have looked real good, haven't they, at TIA?
Oh, yeah. You know, we're very fortunate that we've got strong market, strong ridership. And, you know, the airlines recognize that. They're constantly looking at the route structure, looking at what type of aircraft they should put into our market, if they should upgauge it, which means increase the size of the aircraft to support the groups that are traveling. And as you can imagine, we're always interested in expanding our service, either existing air service or bringing in new service to the airport. That's always one of our primary goals. But for this Thanksgiving, you know, we're just thrilled the airlines are adding those extra flights so that we can serve our passengers and serve our community.
Danette, there's a lot of exciting things coming down the pipeline at TIA. The large runway project is up and running. Can you tell us about that project? What's that going to mean for the airport and the community?
Oh, absolutely. We're very excited about this project. It's called the Airfield Safety Enhancement Program. And technically, it's a project that falls under the guidelines of a safety and standards project. Just like roads and bridges, the FAA looks at safety of runways and taxiways. And as standards change, when we do our projects, we need to update our airfields to meet those new standards. The enhancements for us is that we have a parallel runway system at TUS. However, our parallel runway includes a smaller general aviation only runway. So our project will then demolish the smaller general aviation runway, but relocate it about 100 feet, expand it so that it's a full width, 150 feet wide by 11,000 feet long runway. So truly parallel to our existing runway. And what that provides us is that added safety that we have that the parallel runways. The other thing is that we'll have a taxiway that separates the two runways. And this is a new standard the FAA has adopted so that as pilots are transitioning from one area to another, they don't inadvertently cross an active runway by mistake. You know, that's a safety issue. So that'll be part of our program as well. And although it's not one of the reasons we cited the need for this project, but enhanced and increased capacity is really a side benefit of our program. So we're excited about that. And of course, having the complex air traffic that we have at TUS includes the airlines, which is the commercial carriers, cargo carriers. And then we have an interesting mix of our military partners, the F-16s primarily, and then we have general aviation, which can be anything from a Cessna, 152 all the way up to a corporate jet. So we have a very interesting and dynamic mix of air traffic. So having that that dual runway system that can really be parallel really does provide us that added safety for not only air traffic control being able to keep everybody separated, but also for the pilots and our passengers, of course.
Very exciting. We're speaking with Danette Bewley, the interim president and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. And I know the Tucson Airport Authority is excited about this partnership with Sun Corridor, Inc. Tell us briefly about that, would you please?
Oh, of course. We are very excited. You know, airport has quite a bit of land outside of the airfield area that is positioned for future development, and with Sun Corridor's reach into the nation, tapping into corporations that might want to relocate to our area, it just made sense for us to partner with them so that as they have information about potential relocations, that we can, offer up our land as a potential site for their relocations. So that's one of the benefits. You know, we can focus on running our airport as a transportation hub for the region, and they can help us attract new businesses or expand businesses and new companies to the Tucson region. It's a real growth opportunity for all of us, and we're excited to be partnered with Sun Corridor.
You know, I'm a huge fan, as our listeners know, of the Tucson International Airport. I always tell people, fly out of Tucson rather than Phoenix, for sure.
Thank you.
I'll tell you something, but I'm not alone. The satisfaction rating for the Tucson International Airport is very high, a 99% satisfaction rating. You've got to be very proud of that, Danette.
Oh, yes, we are. You know, it takes a team effort, and I don't just mean at the TAA. That rating is achieved because the airlines are offering excellent customer service, our TSA partners and other federal partners, our concessionaires. Everybody is really interested in making sure that the customer experience is positive. And what makes Tucson such a wonderful airport to transit through is that it's a very stress-free experience from the time you park or drop off your rental car or be dropped off at the curb all the way through security screening and then out to the gate. You have all the opportunities to stop and get some food, local regional food. You can get Beyond Bread, or if you're interested in something like a beverage, you can hit Thunder Canyon Brewery. So we really do bring that local flavor into the airport so our passengers get a little sense of Tucson on their way in and on their way out. So we're really pleased about that.
Danette Bewley, the interim president and CEO of the Tucson International Airport Authority. Thank you very much, Danette, for being with us today. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
The Buckmaster Show CEO interview series is presented by Sun Corridor, Inc. For more information, visit suncorridorinc.com. We'll be right back.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
At Sierra Tucson, we see miracles of healing every day. We are honored to be an international premier treatment center right here in Southern Arizona. Our comprehensive evidence-based programs focus on addiction recovery, mood and anxiety disorders, trauma recovery, including PTSD, pain recovery, and co-occurring disorders. Learn more at sierratucson.com. or call us at 800-842-4487. We work with most insurance payers.
A Citizens Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is preparing to develop the next RTA plan. That's why members want your input on a survey of draft guiding principles they prepared. The principles will help guide them as they develop the next 20-year plan, which would be funded by a voter-required extension of the RTA's half-cent excise or sales tax. To take the survey or sign up to receive RTA notices, please visit www.rtamobility.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studio. How about a road trip? A lot of people are going to be off next week for a four-day weekend, Thanksgiving, then Black Friday and the weekend. A lot of folks going to get away, even make it a five-day weekend. How about Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico? Great way to get away from all of it. 3-hour drive, and you'll be in a beautiful area of the Southwest United States, the southwest corner of the Land of Enchantment. Check out southwestnewmexico.org. There you will find all sorts of opportunities to recreate and ideas on great places to stay in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Well, the 37th year of the El Tour de Tucson ready to kick off this Saturday. Roughly 9,000 participants representing some 20 countries will be taking part in the El Tour. And one person who is very excited about the El Tour is John Huco. And John is the Secretary General and the CEO of the organization Rotary International. And John just arrived few minutes ago here in Tucson to get ready for his 8th year participating in El Tour. John, how are you, sir?
Great, Bill. Thanks for having me again.
How, How did your training go this year as you get ready to take off Saturday?
Well, this year I got to admit it was a little bit spotty. In my job, I travel quite a bit. Rotary, we have 1.2 million Rotarians, 36,000 clubs all over the world. 70% of our members are now outside the United States. So a lot of my job entails traveling internationally. And so I had a lot of, unfortunately for El Tour, for training, I had a lot of international trips this fall, but not bad. You know, I feel pretty good. Whether I'll break 5 hours or not, I don't know. I was able to break it about 4 years ago and give it my best shot. Great event. Love being here.
What is new this year, and how about Rotary's participation this year, John?
Well, you know, Rotary, as you know, Bill, our global signature initiative is the eradication of polio. And back in 1985, our organization, it was nonprofit, not a government agency, not a multilateral institution, had the audacity, and I think that's the right word, the audacity to say we are going to eradicate a disease from the face of the earth. And back in 1985, we had 125 countries with polio, 350,000 cases a year. And in 88, we partnered with the World Health Organization, CDC, Center for Disease Control in Atlanta, and UNICEF, to create the Global Polio Eradication Initiative. And Gates Foundation joined us about 10 years ago. And we've now brought the world on the brink of eradicating polio. We've just two countries left, Afghanistan and Pakistan, where the wild virus is circulating, and less than almost 100 cases a year. So it's been an incredible public-private partnership, and we're at Rotary very proud of our effort. And this El Tour plays a huge role in our fundraising effort to get to the finish line.
Yeah, I was reading in the New York Times that there are two strains of polio, John, are gone, but there is this, I guess there's another, is there another strain, or what is the deal there? They're saying that there's still work to be done, in other words.
Right, well, polio actually has, there's three different types of polio virus. There's type 1, type 2, and type 3. Type 2 was eradicated back in 2012, and just last month, October 24th, which is World Polio Day, we were able to certify type 3 as eradicated. So we're really down to just one of the three subtypes. That's type 1. Unfortunately, it's the most virulent of the three, but that's the last one now that we have to eradicate. But it was a huge achievement to be able to announce in October that the world's now free of type 3 polio virus.
Getting back to something you said a few moments ago about Rotary and service clubs perhaps expanding outside of the United States, is it becoming more and more of a challenge with millennials and younger people to get them interested in service clubs, John?
Well, I think there, in general, all the surveys indicate that millennials want to serve, they want to get involved in causes, they want to make a difference. And that's very good. And so not only Rotary, but I think all the service organizations have all taken a step back and said, okay, how do we need to reframe our product in order to become more attractive to the millennials, the generation that you just referred to? And so we're doing quite a bit to make our Rotary Club experience, the types of club models that we offer to potential members, to make our experience more attractive to millennials. And I think we're having a fair amount of success. In fact, it's events like Rotary's participation in El Tour to raise money for polio, which is something that we found very attractive to many millennials. You know, we've raised now $53 million for polio. That includes the match we get from the Gates Foundation, $53 million in the last 11 years toward polio eradication. Last year we raised 5.7. This year we hope to raise around 10. And so the El Tour and the terrific work that the local Rotarians here in the Tucson area and in Arizona have done has just been absolutely extraordinary. But yes, we're really focused on the millennials, and like all service organizations, we need to recalibrate and to kind of fashion our product in a way that's more attractive to the younger people.
So tell me, John, how that works. Your riders that are Rotarians have been raising money throughout the year for the cause to eradicate polio. Is that how that works?
Right. I mean, we have, as I said, 1.2 million Rotarians, and we're all passionate about eradicating polio. And so our individual riders, and we'll have more than 100 Rotarians from around the world riding, our individual riders are raising money. And then also centrally from Evanston, which is where our headquarters are, Evanston, Illinois, we're really working the Rotary Network to get Rotary clubs around the world to contribute to the ride. And again, this year we're hoping to get to about 3.4 million from Rotarians and Rotary clubs from around the world to contribute. And that, of course, will be matched 2-to-1 by the Gates Foundation. So it's an all-out effort to truly try to really get as much in the door as we can.
Did you take up bicycling because of this cause, or were you always into bicycling?
Well, I used to be a big runner, and then I started getting hip arthritis earlier in life than I'd hoped to, and so I switched over to cycling. And so I was an avid cyclist before I took this job at Rotary almost 9 years ago, but it was really serendipitous in terms of my involvement in Altour. I was at we have an annual convention every year somewhere around the world. We'll get anywhere from 25 to 45,000 Rotarians, and in 2012, it was in Bangkok, and I was on a water taxi, and I was sitting next to a group of Rotarians from Tucson, and we started talking about cycling, and they said, oh, man, you're an avid cyclist. You should come out and help us raise money for polio. We've got this great thing called Altour, and we're using it as a fundraising vehicle, and they're raising maybe 10, 15,000 a year at the time, which wasn't bad, and I said, sure, happy to join, and I sort of put the bully pulpit of my office behind the effort, and it's been a great team effort, and we're now up to 53 million. So it's so the lesson learned here is good things happen when you ride on water taxis in Bangkok.
Which ride do you take? How many miles do you do, John Hugo?
Well, I've done the 106, 103. I mean, it's varied through the years. My best time was about 4 years ago. I cracked 5 hours. And I've come in at 505, 510, close to 5 since then. I guess age does take its toll, right, Bill?
It does.
Every year it gets harder.
Oh, yeah, and all the aches and pains seem to start cropping up, don't they, after a certain age, which I will not mention a certain age. But growing up in nearby Wellmette to Evanston, where you are based, of course, Rotary, as we all know, that North Shore winter can be grueling. Do you like do a stationary bike during the off season, or how do you handle your keeping in condition?
Yeah, well, the cycling, as you know, on the North Shore of Chicago is fantastic in the summer, in the spring, mm-hmm. in the fall. It's just we have a short season, so yeah, I do a lot of indoor biking, you do the best you can given the conditions. I'm always very jealous of fellow Rotarians here in Arizona, where they're able to basically ride all year round, but. But yeah, it's been great. And, you know, as you know, we've got a great Rotary presence here in Arizona and in Tucson. In fact, if your listeners are interested in joining an organization where, you know, not only can you participate in this extraordinary global effort of eradicating polio, but you can get involved in a lot of great local projects. A lot of our clubs in the area support really good local causes, and a lot of our clubs in the Tucson area work on international projects. They'll partner with clubs in other countries to, let's say, do a water project in Africa or a literacy project in Latin America. And so we talked earlier about millennials and service projects, and we're really open to all demographics, from the recently retired to the millennials. And if you're interested in joining an organization where you can both meet some great people and have a great time, but also do great international, local, regional projects to give back, I'd encourage your listeners to look into Rotary.
All right.
Some great clubs in the Tucson area.
John Hugo joining 100 fellow Rotarians this Saturday at Altour. Thank you, John. Always a pleasure to chat with you and catch up with you and what you've been up to. I appreciate it.
Same here, Bill. Thanks for having me.
John Hugo is the Secretary General of Rotary International. He's also the CEO, and they're based back in my neck of the woods in Evanston, Illinois, on the North Shore of Chicago. That's going to do it for Buckmaster Thursday edition. And tomorrow we have the police chief. Chief Magnus is going to be here. Lots to talk about law enforcement. Joe Ferguson from the Star will join me as we talk with the chief on Buckmaster Friday edition. On behalf of Tom Callahan, our new engineer producer. Thank you, Tom, for your work today. Bill Buckmaster, hoping you have a great afternoon and evening. See you tomorrow.